destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Aquapools of gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up,
why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets
in. Dave's not here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Do-do-do. I really don't know where I'm at this moment. I'm trying to find something. But this just really... $10,000 missing in a disastrous beyond comprehension of Libya floods. I guess they're going after the smaller countries now, right? Just annihilating whole races, it seems like. Don't know that, it's time you learn to give thanks for what you have. It's time to recognize that you're okay. And that if you're here hearing me, then you're okay. I mean, sure, the shit's hitting the fan all over. There's people stealing from us. People killing, genociding us through products and corporations and whatever rules they think is necessary to take us away. To take us away. Have those just, oh my gosh. No idea of how or why things like that occur. There are just some days, I'm telling you. There are just some days. It's a lot of people. That's more than flipping. Uh, 20,000 people. That's more than the Twin Towers. As far as I remember, no. I mean, how do you just not be a human and have this affect you? It's one of the most difficult things I've had to learn to deal with. I mean, honestly. But they're all politically, you know, hey, they've all been politically motivated to a degree. I mean, we've done such stuff to Libya. But it's also the geoengineering. I really believe that. I really believe a lot of this weather stuff is geoengineering. Yes, life is a series of challenges. They get easier if you can accept that. And there can be joy, excitement, and good times. But there's also going to be shadows. So welcome any downtime that you can get. Make the best out of it. And hopefully you won't be too scarred or afflicted to not be able to go on. And that is the hardest thing, is to try to look for something that is basically going to make things better just by an attitude adjustment. Yep. I thought that was a video, but it wasn't. Let's see. This is not a video either. Or is it? And how much would I trust CNN, you know? Alrighty then, I know, I'm just... Everything around me has seemed to have changed to a degree. Now I'm just trying to make sure I can put up with it and deal with it. Not take it personally. And that's not easy, I'm telling you what. Seriously. Whoops, that isn't what I wanted. I didn't realize that.
Hello, friends of the truth, clones and AI. The human race has had our DNA manipulated, altered, and split in two to change our entire species' genetic makeup. Clones are a genetic creation that run on an artificial program, artificial intelligence. Clones, because of their genetically modified makeup, will suffer serious health conditions and neurological problems that eventually ends them. This is what I believe has happened to the Greys. I believe they found out that you cannot mesh a biological form with artificial intelligence and thrive. The only outcome is destruction. The high level science of genetics on planet Earth, meaning the dark forces working in their underground labs or dumps, are and have been doing some extremely highly advanced cloning of our race for thousands of years. This very sinister program genetically modifies the human to work on a completely artificial frequency based solely on artificial intelligence. Very dangerous. This dark forces has been manufacturing clones of all sorts of people, politicians and celebrities, anyone who can be useful to replace and fulfill the agenda they want. These clones are controlled by a central AI that works with a transmitter that receives information through a chip, which is neurologically connected to their brain. This central AI controls these clones equally like as in a hive mind, which I've talked about before. These clones have memories and reactions downloaded into them based on the original person who they are cloning, meaning they study the original person whose mental profile they have downloaded into an advanced supercomputer and is implanted in their clone as a program. Hillary Clinton, Obama. These clones work through an AI signal. When the internal program in these clones do not give, let's say, the correct answer or the desired reaction, it can be accessed through that signal from a central AI computer. Although these clones do learn new things over time from experiences, but it's of a very limited nature. The signal that controls these clones is transmitted by the cell phone network and other high-energy transmitters that are placed at key points around the world. The signal is accessed and controlled by a supercomputer called Red Queen. There are other independently nodes, as they call them, around the world, but these subordinate nodes are always coordinated by the Red Queen or Central. This AI of the Red Queen works independently, making its own decisions and acting without any control of a human being. This Red Queen has not only the clones under its control, but also extremely high-tech war robots, manufactured an unmanned drone aircraft, which is strongly armed. The Red Queen can also take control over any modern computerized vehicle, such as a car, airplane, ship, or submarine. These clones can be manufactured to be exactly the same as the original and can be modified according to their needs. These clones are not perfect and are plagued with problems. They can also make an artificial person that does not represent any real human, and that creation is made with the manufacturer's specifications according to their purpose and the task they will perform. These clones are high-level people, leaders of large companies, celebrities, politicians. When these clones are being harassed and suffering ridicule at the hands of an irate population, usually the original has already had the opportunity to flee. False flags and attacks are where clones are used. Clones also being created on a large scale to be used in satanic rituals to their archon gods. Celebrities, men and women, also are cloned equally and sold to the elites as the slaves and entertainment toys. These clones vary widely in pricing according to the perfection. Many of these clones sold for elites of the dark forces. Most of these clones are based on real people, and they retain part of their personalities, but they are downloaded with an extra program to make them more complacent. These clones tend to have serious neurological problems. The longer the gestation period, meaning the length of time given in their formation, the greater the total stability of the clones will be, which increases its price. The cheaper ones will only work well for a couple weeks. These cheap clones are the ones used in suicide missions and are often disposable for a single use. They have a very limited lifetime. The most expensive clones are those that take 3 to 5 months to be formed. The clones that are prices vary between $20,000 and $50,000. Hence, rising in price according to specifications, the most expensive ones exceed $500,000. All are available only to the elites, and the public remains completely ignorant of this issue. Most of the public does have knowledge of cloning animals, etc., but they are kept in the dark of how advanced this cloning process really is. If the original person does not obey the dark forces' wishes and revolts against them, they will use their cloning, creating a remote torture situation that the original person will perceive and suffer greatly. But the clone is tortured instead of the original, all through AI signal. The creation of the clones in our current human society is very large and extensive, and it's progressively increasing and reaching levels of invasion. These clones are part of what they call unreal people of the Matrix. These clones are progressively leaking into the entire human society from the highest rungs down little by little as a silent invasion. This is the scary part for an everyday human. Today, any person in the public can be abducted by the dark forces in a traditional kidnapping or by a high-tech ship in the service of the dark forces, generally of the triangular type. If this person is of interest to them and being very influential to the masses, they will be cloned and eventually replaced by their clone. In many cases, only the people closest to that clone person will realize something strange has happened to them. So much of society is ignorant to the level of the cloning of the human race really is. This artificial creation of the human race is infiltrating all levels of society throughout the world. This invasion of artificial intelligence has a purpose for total planetary assimilation. Look what they're trying to do to the human race as far as programming us to be obedient little robots. It's all for the purpose of control. This invasion of AI is not of terrestrial origin and operates independently and does not need any operator or programmer. It has already achieved independence and the ability to be self-conscious, but lacks all empathy and is only interested in absolute power and control overall. We've all heard of the implementation of the chip to everyday human beings. They tell you it will make things easier and try to sell it as convenience. But what few people don't know is it's all to control your consciousness and behavior. This chip will manipulate your emotions and behavior with a signal received through that chip by a cellular frequency which affects the brain. This signal or frequency can also send a secretion of psychotropic substances or nanobots into your bloodstream, making you obey this external controller. Besides manipulating the behavior of a specific individual, this signal can send a frequency to cause a disease such as cancer and even death. Refuse the chip at all costs. Modern smartphones are also being used for the purpose of the manipulation of behavior in the population by emitting specific frequencies that match the brainwaves of those within the radius of that frequency being sent. It causes changes to your behavior, moods, and neurological problems such as epilepsies and seizures. Keep them away from you as much as you can. Believe me, that's easier said than done. Specific frequencies are designed to affect the cerebral cortex in our brains. This technology is already being used on a large scale, transmitted from the towers. This technology is also being used on the battlefield. This use of weaponized frequency can modify the behavior of the enemy. It causes feelings of terror, and it implants ideas that they will take on as their own. It also causes them to feel doubt. Keep your frequency as high as possible to keep these negative events caused by negative frequencies from altering your experiences. These elites want to alter your consciousness through frequency, so by keeping a high vibration, a high state of awareness is your best bet. By Terry Wade.
Goodness. How does that help anything?
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another segment of AstrologyAnswers.com's weekly forecast.
Yeah, well, no thanks. Let's see. I really don't care about the Burning Man stuff anymore. So let's remove that one. Okay. Let's see.
Look, the moment that you let that man move in with you, you are now the man. You can just consider yourself the man of the house, baby, because you're already in your masculine energy. Men should not move in with women, and that's just not on that. It don't matter if he's paying the house note or paying all the bills. You're never going to be able to change that dynamic, because the moment that y'all get into a job breakup or it's over, you're going to tell that man, get out of my house. You're going to be telling him to get out of your house. And so you ain't got to explain yourself to me, because I get a lot of... it was best for us. I was the homeowner first, and it just made sense for us. Okay, Brandon. Okay, just gonna start lining yourself up. Okay, line your beard up, because you're still the man. If it's that imminent for y'all to live together, let that man put a roof over your head. and that just is what it is. So I hope that this is temporary for y'all, and that y'all can start looking for something together, because it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what your reasoning is behind it. That man is in your house.
So moving with him so he can kick you out instead when y'all break up? See, this is inconsistent logic. With that same type of thinking, a man and woman should never hold the same job position at any career field. With that same type of logic, women should stay at the house, cook and clean, and shouldn't even own a house, and men should be the breadwinners. But if this is really about equality, then him moving in with you is just as equal as you moving in with him. And if you're stepping into your masculine by letting this man live with you in your own house, then you were already stepping into your masculine when you purchased the house. You were already stepping into your...
Okay. The break's coming up, but this is rather interesting. The title of it is, This Generation is Getting Out of Control. But it's not just a generation. It's the whole ideology of me, mine, and not ours. But then that's just me thinking, you know. Who am I? I'm just Mona, you know. I'm just... But yeah, I'm just kidding. But I guess it's... we're all... just one of those things. Just one of those things. Break, I know you're coming somewhere. But he sounded like he understood what was going on. Because nowadays, you really can't think like that about any kind of relationships. I mean, they're so, oh my gosh. So different.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out. Up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Do
Join me on the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Boulder Dash. That's what I said, and I'm sticking with it. That's right. Where'd I go?
I'd rather listen to him right now instead of going back to that other video, which I'm sure you forgot I was even playing.
Up the likely fact that COVID-19 was originated in the Wuhan lab. Shame on you, CIA. Welcome back to the JP React Channel, my beautiful, freedom-loving friend, where we like to call out the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption of tyrants, shine the light of awareness on woke absurdities, and highlight the amazing work of other freedom fighters. We got a freedom fighter in the form of a whistleblower from the CIA exposing how the CIA tried to manipulate and cover up with the COVID-19 investigation. Weird how the CIA would apparently be found to be hiding truth and telling lies. Huh. So checking this out on the Gateway Pundit. CIA whistleblower exposes agency's action to manipulate COVID-19 origin investigation and offers significant monetary incentive to discredit the Wuhan lab theory. And specifically, that's the CIA offering monetary incentive for its investigative team to conclude no lab origin. Okay. So it's probably not going to surprise you and I to have further evidence that this thing was created in a lab that Fauci definitely didn't have connection to through EcoHealth Alliance. Fauci definitely wasn't put in charge of advising Americans how to combat a disease that he created. So that kind of thing is not going to surprise you and I anymore. Yet I was kind of surprised that apparently the CIA had a hand in the cover-up, trying to cover the truth of this. It's like, well, I wouldn't expect the CIA to be doing honest work, but why is the CIA involved with trying to cover up the COVID origin? Don't we have enough corrupt agencies and people trying to tell us lies about that? Why is the CIA involved? Let's take a look at the story. A CIA whistleblower has stepped forward claiming the CIA manipulated the investigation into the origins of COVID-19. According to letters from House Coronavirus Subcommittee Chairman Brad Weinstrup and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner, the CIA offered significant monetary incentives to officials to shift their findings. I love that kind of science. Here's the science. We're going to give you a lot of money to find what we want you to find. Science! The Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence have received new and concerning whistleblower testimony regarding the agency's investigation into the origins of COVID-19. And apparently a credible whistleblower. A multi-decade senior-level current agency officer has come forward to provide information to the committees regarding the agency's analysis into the origins of COVID-19. The CIA assigned seven officers to a specialized discovery team to investigate the origin of COVID-19. Yeah, this is definitely looking to investigate the origins of it. Hey, here's money to not find that, but find this. According to the high-ranking whistleblower within the CIA, the agency offered significant monetary incentives to officials on the COVID-19 investigative team to alter their positions on the virus's origin. Significant monetary incentive to alter their positions on the origins. Initially, six of the seven members of the discovery team were leaning towards a low-confidence assessment that the virus likely originated in a Wuhan laboratory. Who would have thought? And the whistleblower further contends that to come to the eventual public determination of uncertainty, the other six members were given a significant monetary incentive to change their position. So apparently, six of the seven members on the investigative team were initially leaning towards a low-confidence assessment that it probably came from the Wuhan lab. And then enter the significant monetary incentives, and then those other six members changed their findings to a different position. Okay. And the plot thickens like a Pfizer blood clot. This new revelation confirms the allegations by former EcoHealth Vice President and whistleblower Andrew Huff that the U.S. government is trying to cover up the origins of COVID-19 because Dr. Fauci and the U.S. were funding the Wuhan lab's gain-of-function research. So now we start getting curious about this question. Why was the CIA lying? Why were they manipulating people? Why were they giving people monetary bribes to alter their scientific findings to a position other than came from a lab? So this starts to tickle that curiosity. Let's just live in a world where we let reality be real for a second. Dr. Fauci, he gave money to EcoHealth Alliance to give to the Wuhan lab for gain-of-function research. So that's Dr. Fauci giving money to the Wuhan lab for gain-of-function research. Just have a middleman in the middle so, you know, we can, like, create a barrier of protection. Then poop hits the fan. Instead of Fauci kind of being found out for who and what he is, even though I think we already know that, Fauci's a high-level dude in the U.S. government. So is it possible he called up a couple buddies at the CIA and said, you know what, guys, I could be in a little bit of trouble, and I don't want to be in any trouble. So buddies at the CIA, do you have any interest in launching an investigation and finding that the virus did not come from the lab? Do you want to do me that? Find the science, look for the science. But here's the science we want you to find. And if you need to pay the investigators to find that science, please do it. I don't know. Those are just questions being asked. That's initially how it would make sense that the CIA, why are they investigating viral origins? Seems like it's out of their scope. I could be wrong on that, but they're certainly devious. Kill Kennedy and don't find that lab. That's okay. But that's my initial thought on how and why they would be involved. Going back to Dr. Fauci, him wanting to cover his own tracks, get a little help from my friends at the CIA. That could be, I don't know. I'm just asking questions here. But this new whistleblower testimony is very intriguing. It's thickening the plot of the criminal weave that's associated with this whole gain-of-function crapdemic that we had. So we're going to see what happens with this. Does the CIA get in trouble? By who? Like, CIA is not going to get in trouble. But is the public going to gain more awareness about the CIA's devious stuff? Is the public going to have more awareness about Dr. Fauci's devious stuff? I think so. I think that's probably the best we can hope for. That's the best that's going to come from this whistleblower from the CIA saying that the CIA gave significant monetary incentives for its investigative team to conclude the virus didn't come from a lab. Maybe all the help Fauci. I don't know. But man, I would dare say we have some corrupt entities allegedly running our country. CIA, I don't trust them. Fauci, I don't trust them. FBI, I don't trust them. And this whistleblower testimony is just more incentive, more evidence of why these agencies aren't trustworthy, why they don't deserve our trust. So I'll be following this story, seeing what happens. But for now, this is the breaking news on the CIA and their manipulation and corruption and cover-up of their investigative findings of the COVID-19 origin, the Wuhan lab. Thank you, Fauci. We didn't find anything. With that said, my freedom-loving friend, appreciate you watching. I'll look forward to seeing you on our next video. But before that, I want to tell you about something.
I don't know about you, but I'm someone who likes to take control of my health. And one of the prime ways I...
Recently, we have seen some lashing out by some of those in the so-called freedom community. They claim to be awake to the COVID-19 fraud, but seem to have been caught napping on the biggest issue of all. While they rightly question the promoted, quote, science surrounding vaccines, face masks, and other responses, paradoxically, they wholeheartedly accept the virological and germ theory proclamations coming from the same institutions. Anyone claiming to be pro-freedom while promoting the pseudoscience of germ theory is helping the propagation of fake pandemics, unfounded fear, and tragically distracting from what really makes us ill. Not to mention that germ theory is used as a Trojan horse for other agendas. As we have noted, germ theory is a misnomer because it should not have been given scientific theory status when it is, in fact, a refuted hypothesis. In this video, we'll have a look at five of the germ fallacies that are currently doing the rounds.
It's hard to figure out what's real and not, basically. All right, I don't want to read that kind of stuff. I got other stuff to do.
They're all covered with filthy germs, aren't they, Smithers?
Why, what do you mean, sir?
Freemasons run the country!
Number one, epidemiology. Many proponents of germ theory like to introduce epidemiological statistics into their arguments, a practice that went into overdrive in the COVID-19 era. In fact, a 2020 article on a California State University website stated, "The coronavirus epidemic has thrust epidemiology, the study of the incidence, distribution, and control of disease in a population, to the forefront of scientific disciplines across the globe, and even made temporary celebrities out of some of its practitioners." Some established celebrities became practitioners as well. Perhaps the most famous hobbyist epidemiologist was Bill Gates and his preposterous cheerleading of the COVID show. Britannica states that epidemiology is a branch of medical science that studies the distribution of disease in human populations and the factors determining that distribution, chiefly by the use of statistics. And Medical Microbiology 4th edition states that epidemiology is a descriptive science and includes the determination of rates, that is, the quantification of disease occurrence within a specific population. This is a crucial point. You will note that the definition does not include providing experimental evidence for causation, as it is essentially concerned with describing the patterns and statistics. In the case of an alleged pathogenic germ, a hypothesis could be raised, but that would then need to be tested with scientifically controlled experimental studies. However, this is where the wheels fall off the hypothesis. The experimental evidence does not support the model. Germ proponents can now only embarrass themselves trying to claim that there are valid experiments in the literature. Blaming clusters of disease on germs has a long history of going astray. In the late 1800s, an imagined germ was being blamed for beriberi, when in fact it was due to thiamine deficiency. In the early 1900s, pellagra was also said to be an infectious disease, until it was conceded that it was a niacin deficiency. In Minamata, Japan, there was an alleged contagious disease outbreak in the 1950s that was eventually shown to be caused by mercury toxicity.
Germ.
In the current era, the germ theorists still cling to the belief that a cluster of people getting sick, or even just having the same test result, must equal microbial infection, even though they have no experimental evidence to back it up. 2. What about chickenpox? I've already covered this one before in my video, Chickenpox Parties, so please watch that if you haven't seen it before. In brief, many people seem to think that the condition known as chickenpox is contagious because, again, clusters of disease are sometimes observed. They claim that it is so infectious that even being in the same room with a case could cause you to become the next victim. It is unclear with their theory why historically such low numbers are seen at any one time, but their excuses don't matter because we have reviewed all of the relevant scientific literature and not once has it been demonstrated that anything of this nature can be transmitted through the air. Most of the time, no references are provided for the quote, highly infectious claims. However, if you keep scratching, the 1925 experiments of Karl Kondratitz are cited as proof of contagion, when they provide nothing of the sort. He took samples of fluid from skin vesicles of chickenpox cases and then injected this foreign material directly into the skin of a group of children. 17 out of 28 children developed skin reactions in the uncontrolled and unnatural exposure experiment. Aside from the failures to demonstrate any contagious element for chickenpox, there is also the foundational problem of being unable to demonstrate anything that meets the description of a virus. Papers claiming to, quote, isolate varicella zoster virus don't actually isolate anything. They use cytopathic effects or cell culture breakdown observed in laboratory studies as their so-called evidence. Electron microscopy images, such as this one from the CDC, claim to depict virions, and yet provide precisely no evidence as to the composition or biological nature of these imaged particles. And detecting genetic sequences from vesicles by using PCR for alleged virus existence tops off the pseudoscience. The selected sequences have never been shown to be viral in nature, and it is another example of virology's circular reasoning. When they can't show evidence for the hypothesized pathogen, introduce it with logical fallacies. Number 3, historical stories. Sometimes when a germ promoter is on the back foot, they will resort to pulling out a historical account from Wikipedia or their public education schooling. It is a sidestepping move because shouldn't they be able to produce a foundational scientific publication for their case? And while we are talking about Wikipedia, those in the freedom community who still believe in germ theory should ask why the online encyclopedia has a special entry titled Germ Theory Denialism. It states that germ theory denialism is the pseudoscientific belief that germs do not cause infectious disease and that the germ theory of disease is wrong. It gives a single reference for this claim, and it is a blog post by a Dr. Stephen Novella that provides exactly zero scientific citations.
Zero!
It also states, germ theory denialism is counter to over a century of experiments and practical observations. Can they cite one experiment, please? And is the prevailing opinion of almost all doctors and scientists? Prevailing opinion, appeal to authority, and appeal to common belief is not scientific evidence. In any case, pulling out historical accounts is often an effective tactic, as these tales are somewhat known in the population, despite the fact that almost nobody bothers to look into them in detail. For example, a doctor recently declared in an article that those who would like to dismiss germ theory completely must first explain away Dr. John Snow's success in ridding an area of London of cholera simply by removing the Broad Street pump handle. I will now explain away. During the Broad Street cholera outbreak in London in 1854, Snow collected data on death rates related to two water suppliers that were drawing their water from the heavily contaminated Thames River. To give you an idea of the water source in question, this is how it was described. Many cellars had cesspools underneath their floorboards, which formed from the sewers and filth seeping in from the outside. Since the cesspools were overrunning, the London government decided to dump the waste into the River Thames, contaminating the water supply. While Snow's analysis was correct in concluding that it was contaminated water making people sick, the modern era story that it was an infection from the bacterium Vibrio cholerae is not. To this day, there is no scientific evidence that the ingestion of bacteria by itself will make anyone sick. Max von Pettenkofer first demonstrated this in 1892 by swallowing a large culture of Vibrio cholerae provided by Robert Koch. Disappointingly for Koch, his rival did not succumb to cholera. I note that Wikipedia now speculates that Pettenkofer did get cholera, but it was mild as he, quote, possibly had some immunity. However, the ingestion of fecal material, decomposing biological tissue, and other toxins can certainly make people sick. So the cluster of cases had nothing to do with infection and everything to do with the common factor of drinking filthy waste-containing River Thames water. Another claim you may see is that native populations such as the Aztecs were devastated by smallpox that was supposedly introduced by Spanish conquistadors in the 16th century. Such stories are promoted by the Public Broadcasting Service, whose funders include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. As I have covered in multiple videos, there is no evidence that any bioweapon, meaning a contagious and replicating entity, has ever been produced, including attempts around World War II. However, we are now supposed to believe that bioweapons were perfected 500 years ago in the form of smallpox blankets. Once again, stories like this are being used to support the germ hypothesis and distract from the foundational scientific failures when tested experimentally. Number 4, surgical procedures. Germ theory promoters, whether intentionally or not, can employ a sleight of hand when conflating alleged microbial invasion with hygiene. In general, those of us that refute the germ hypothesis do not deny that hygiene is very important. Note that hygiene means a science of the establishment and maintenance of health and conditions or practices, as of cleanliness, conducive to health. There is nothing in that definition that requires the introduction of supposed pathogens. So when someone says, I wonder how many of those who claim there are no germs would be willing to have a surgical operation without the surgeon washing his hands or wearing gloves, I would firstly respond that gloves are not that important, and half the reason they are worn is that the surgeon wants to keep their hands clean with a perceived protection from the patient's fluids. And when it comes to benefits for the patient, what did a Cochrane systematic review of 30 trials examining surgical gloving practice find? They concluded, although the primary aim of wearing gloves during surgery is to provide protection against infections, no trials set out to measure the relationship between gloves and infections in patients or staff. In other words, the glove claimants probably didn't review the scientific literature.
Well, I guess I just assumed.
Hand washing, on the other hand, is important. But again, the germ promoters confuse microbes with hygiene, as they cite the story of Ignaz Semmelweis, the doctor who noted the benefits of hand washing in obstetric clinics. They state that if there is no germ theory, then Semmelweis was wrong, and Semmelweis cannot have been wrong, because his actions in putting his theory into practice and dramatically reducing the incidence of puerperal fever in the hospital where he worked proved that he was right. This is another one I've covered before. So let's look at a flashback from my video, Health Risks of Using Your Cell Phone on the Toilet. A classic example that I'm sent is the story of Ignaz Semmelweis, an obstetrician working in Vienna in the mid-1800s. By the way, this story is listed on the Wikipedia germ theory page as part of their, quote, evidence for the concept. Semmelweis was alarmed by the high rates of puerperal fever when doctors, rather than midwives, got involved in the birthing process. He insisted that doctors start washing their hands between performing autopsies and examining patients, which subsequently resulted in the mortality rate of mothers dropping by 90%. Now, it is clear that no controlled study was performed, and we don't know what other variables were operating between the two clinics being compared. However, the most important point is that no microbes were identified as the causative factor in disease. It was and remains simply presumed to be the case. Semmelweis advised washing the hands with a bleach solution to get rid of the putrid smell following the handling of autopsy tissue. In other words, it was disgusting, diseased, and dead tissue, not the sort of toxic brew that a woman needs inside her. They did not reduce the brew to an independent variable such as a pure culture of a particular bacterial species, and no experiments have shown such cultures to have pathogenic abilities through normal exposure routes. The microbes present in such cases are there to manage and decompose the dead tissue and have no capacity to invade healthy tissue. For example, vaginas are permanently colonized with huge numbers of microbes, including species claimed to be pathogenic. Some of them may proliferate when there is a problem with the underlying tissue or terrain, but they have never been shown to be the...
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me on the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone Thinker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie,
Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.org. Revolution.radio. Did I even do that? First round? 14th day of September 2023. We are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Come to the homepage and do a donate click, donate click, donate click. Thank you very much. Back to the germ, no germ theory.
A causative factor. If they did have such a capacity, why has this never been demonstrated? We know that pure cultures of bacteria have not been shown to be pathogenic unless they are administered to an organism in massive concentrations and via unnatural routes. Poor hygiene and other neglect is the problem, not microbes, who are simply responding as the cleanup crew to the changed terrain. Maybe epidemiologists should realize that the risk factors for so-called infectious diseases are some of the causes. Number 5, smallpox or HIV challenge. Over the years, we, along with Tom Cowan, Andy Kaufman, Christine Massey, and others, have been sent various challenges to be exposed to alleged pathogens. My husband Mark also caught wind of a member of his running club claiming behind his back that the Baileys wouldn't dare go near the snot of a so-called COVID-19 patient. Mark explained to the embarrassed person that we had already announced by mid-2020 that we would happily walk through a COVID ward without any protective gear on. Aerosol transmission of microbes that cause disease has never been demonstrated in the history of medical science, and it is a fairy tale to scare children and naive adults like the one he confronted. Even worse when the alleged infectious particle, SARS-CoV-2, cannot be shown to exist. Sometimes we see doctors getting involved in this game. An example was in September 2022 when Dr. Richard Fleming made this ridiculous video.
So here's my proposition. If you don't believe that viruses exist, so you can't be harmed by them, I would like to propose an experiment where we contact the FDA and CDC and obtain the vials of smallpox that exist that we know are lethal. We'll then have you arrange to be in a room and expose you to the smallpox in the vial. Since according to you, Serainers, these viruses don't exist in these vials because viruses don't exist, then you'll have no harm. If, however, you're unwilling to participate in that, well, that would indicate that you honestly believe that viruses exist.
Aside from the logical fallacies and conflating the refutation of the virus model with terrain theory, Dr. Fleming demonstrated his lack of insight into the foundational problems with virology. Whatever he thinks the CDC has in their alleged smallpox vials, we know it is not anything that meets the definition of a virus. The question he should be asking is, what is contained within such vials? Could it be breaking down chicken embryo tissue with antibiotics and other additives? If you have not seen Katie Sugak's documentary, The Truth About Smallpox, then I highly recommend it, as it outlines the mythology surrounding both the claims of a specific disease and the existence of a virus. Mike Stone's Virology also has excellent articles exposing these issues. A similar challenge that you might see is, well, let's say you accept some blood from an HIV-infected source. Again, this is a misunderstanding of the science. Nobody has ever been shown to have any, quote, HIV in their blood. What they have is a positive in vitro antibody assay. There are dozens of conditions that may cause a positive assay, and many of these people are not in good shape, in which case you probably don't want their blood, but not because of any imaginary virus. We covered this issue in Virus Mania, and if you want to take the deepest dive, then read the Perth Group's HIV, A Virus Like No Other, which remains an uncontested refutation of the existence of a viral entity. Once after childbirth, I was advised to have a blood transfusion, but declined, as it is not a good idea to have any foreign biological material injected into your body. Probably the funniest challenge I've ever had was, if you don't believe in germ theory, then let's see you eat feces. My response is, isolate the microbes from the biological waste material, and in the tradition of Waite, Fraser, Powell, and Pettenkofer, swallowing those will be fine. While we are talking about eating poo, I couldn't go past this old video from Bear Grylls either.
This means there's definitely bears in the wood. This is the sort of poo they do. But if you had nothing else, a bit of a rinse down. And that basically is going to be okay to eat. Pretty sharp. A bit like somebody's got your apple core and smeared it in a dog poop.
In all seriousness though, the propagation of germ theory is a disaster for humanity. The downstream effects are filthy vaccines, population control, and vast transfers of wealth from the public to the medico-pharmaceutical complex and their friends. Although health freedom advocates don't go along with these things, unfortunately, many remain wedded to allopathic things and still go in for pharmaceuticals and other unnecessary interventions. Perhaps worse is that they promote fear narratives and fall for bioweapon and gain-of-function gaslighting. Surely it is high time for them to analyse all the pivotal scientific papers as we have done. Or will they continue to look their audience in the eye and say that the science is settled? What gives me great hope is that their lashing out is likely the first cracks in the germ theory dam. It is obvious to us that the fraud is now too widely known about to be contained. My inbox is also full of messages from well-wishers, letting us know that their family's health is the best it has ever been now that they have left the germ theory-based allopathic system. Let's continue to spread the good news that microbes are not our enemies, and these unwarranted fears can be left behind. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you gotta have a good immune system. By trying to not allow those negative foreign objects into your physical being. I don't know.
How much money went from USAID to this, to the work at Wuhan and to their collaborator, Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, to collect and make coronaviruses that are weaponized, that are more deadly?
So I, first of all, reject the implicit accusation in that question, and I do not have at my finger. I do not have at my fingertips the particular details of USAID.
Are you saying for certain? Are you saying for certain that no USAID money went to the Wuhan Institute of Virology?
Go ahead.
No, please tell me.
Are you stating that no USAID money went? I am happy to take questions from those in this audience. I'm happy to answer them. I appreciate that they treat every person in this room, including myself, respectfully. I've called on you. I'm now calling on someone else. Go ahead.
Me respectfully, please tell me, what are you denying?
Go ahead.
What
please.
Is your denial?
Go.
It's a non-denial denial.
Well, why would he think he's going to answer him? That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I wasn't real prepared. It's just one of those things.
私、私の問題、研究会の代表理事を務めている福島でございます。深刻にですね、私医師として、また科学者として、とてつもない今危機に直面している、あるいは危機が始まっていると認識しています。民主主義の危機ですよ。知る権利がとことん踏みにじられている。これは憲法で保障されている、ね、幸福追求権、生存権をね、もう正面から無視し続けてるっていう、この政府の態度ですよ。絶対に許せないと思います。真面目な先生方は、お手元に配りましたように、学会でちゃんと症例報告等してるんです。それが何百とあるんですよ。尋常な事態じゃない。こんなこと今までなかった。これは薬害じゃないんですよ。明らかに拡散医薬なる、全く不完全な薬でもないものをばらまいて、それで、まあ、あえて言いましょう、殺人ですよ。虐殺が起きたと言ってもいい。これは生物兵器によるホロコーストに近いんじゃないんですかっていうことですよ。何が起こってるか。極めて中途半端ないい加減なものが世の中に出回ったんですよ。何兆円も使ってですよ。私はね、そこで今科学者と医師と、あるいは市民としてのレゾンデートル、存在意義が問われていると、存在理由が問われているというふうに真剣に思います。だからワクチン問題研究会の、
Everything that's outside of us in this Americas is poisoned. I mean, the food, the air, the water, the environment. I'm sure there's all kinds of other places around the world, too, that are just that way, too. But... I'm sure they're having fun taking notes of how all this behavior of theirs has exchanged and changed the human race. Yeah, I'm sure of that. But... just... You gotta keep on going, right?
Abandon all hope, all ye that enter herein. I could have sworn that's what I saw when I entered the airport. Your senses are assaulted. Your aspirations for a restored nation are dashed. All that you hope for in the next election comes crashing to the floor.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
You just crossed over into a cross-section of America, a microcosm of the country, a juxtaposition of the Goyim and their unseen rulers, the Yehudim, Jews, I mean. You just crossed over into the land of the Goys. Whippee! Tell the Goy the sky is green, and he'll believe you. He is got a down pat. Remember Michael Chertoff, the kike who headed Homeland Security right after 911's inside job? Janet Napolitano, an alleged lesbian, took his place. But Jews never retire. Chertoff straightaway started the Chertoff Group that specializes in airport security. Well, why not? He's got all the connections at the federal configuration, node by node, yid by yid, kike by kike. That means big contracts for his covert node technology, X-ray technology that sees everything in your luggage, your carry-ons, your pockets, your underwear, your privates, screened remotely at centralized locations. Big Brother Jew is watching you. Don't be fooled, all you guys. BB Jew is watching you, too, in the stall. When you undress, take off your belt, pull down your pants, and unzip your fly. It's all very unnatural, is it not? Why not? The same ones Jewish organizations by the tons pushing gay sex, tranny mutilation of children, drag queen stories have a keen sense and proclivities for the unnatural. And then there's the pat-downs. No, you're not watching porn, not a blue movie, no, not perverted erotica, no, not debauched pedophilia. What you're watching is a Jewish-conceived post-9/11 Orwellian lord all-out invasion of privacy scene. You see, shortly before the inside job at the World Trade Center, the Jew-run CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, drafted their Commission on National Security report. Allegedly heading up the report were the usual kikish suspects, Leslie Galb and Richard Haass, successive Jewish presidents of the CFR. The report laid the footing for the Bolshevik Department of Homeland Security. Straight away after the so-called attack at the WTC, George Bush announced the creation of Homeland Security ready and waiting in the wings. Compliments of Leslie Galb and Richard Haass. And Bush signed into law, November 19th, 2001, the Transportation Security Act, our beloved TSA.
Hello.
You're locked behind this door with a key of Jewish subjugation. Big Brother Jew is watching you. Get out your fries, Goy, your mask soon too. Dangle them on your ear while dibbling at the food court. It's just another day at the airport.
It's about right. I bet you. I don't know. I haven't been to an airport in a long time. I don't know that I'd want to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the channel, where we're going to be looking at some of this dire data around the housing market today. We're going to focus not just on USA, but also the UK, Canada, and if we have time, we can also look at some European data. But the main thing to really notice about what's been happening, not just this year, but also going back to 2020, is people are starting to migrate. We saw that in late 2020 into early 2021 was the heaviest period, where people were migrating from densely urban areas to more rural areas. And this has sort of exacerbated a lot of issues at the moment. It solved some problems and created others. For example, it solved a lot of problems with workers who were, let's say, remote workers, or maybe they could have been remote workers, but their employers didn't allow it. And now the employers have seen that in some cases remote working works well, and people have now been able to move for affordability issues. Now, the flip side of that is many more wealthy people have been moving out of urban areas into more rural areas, exacerbating supply issues, pushing up prices, and causing conflict with locals. There's a number of stories about tradespeople, for example, or you may call them contractors in your area, where they may have been booked up for several months with work in the local area, and then wealthier people have come in and said, I'll pay you 50% more if you drop those contracts and come and work for me. A lot of Californians are getting the blame for this at the moment, we're seeing. We're also seeing a lot of political changes, especially in the USA. So some of the more wealthy regions, California and New York, etc., moving into states that are not predominantly Democrat, more Republican in nature. This is causing some division. We're seeing the impact of higher interest rates right across the spectrum, and what this is doing to house prices, affordability, first-time buyers, refinancing. We're seeing home builders going bankrupt. There's so much going on right now. But I want to move over to the shared screen and show you some of this data, show you some articles which might help to sort of solidify a lot more of this in your mind, so you can understand for your own circumstances where the housing market's going, where interest rates are going, and maybe this will help you to plan a little better for your housing requirements. It doesn't matter if you're a renter or a buyer, we're going to cover everything in today's video. So without further ado, let's get over to the shared screen. I wanted to pick up on this survey. It's one of the largest surveys done in a long time by Fannie and Freddie over in the US. And I thought this was quite fascinating when you look at remote work and mobility. And what you'll notice is that it hasn't really changed very much from Q3 of 2021 through to Q1 of 2023. We had 13% in 21 working at home. We now have 14%, so almost no change at all. Very similar with the mix of work from home or office, 23%, now 21%. And it's exactly the same working every day at your work location or office, 49%. And it does get a lot more granular if you want to see more of this data. The report is called Remote Work and Housing Location Preferences. So it's a really, really good article and gives a good overview of what is actually happening within the housing market in the US. But let's move over to this article here then, which summarizes a lot of the study. And it says that more people are willing to move to less expensive areas further away from offices in city centers than a few years ago, according to this survey. Continuing remote and hybrid work at levels remarkably unchanged from 2 years ago is enabling people to move toward housing affordability. And I would tend to agree with that. I think the focus right now is on affordability as opposed to other metrics. The report also revealed that affordability is the most important factor in finding a place to live, both for renters and homeowners. At the beginning of the year, 22% of remote and hybrid workers said they would be willing to relocate to a different region or increase their commute. Only 14% such workers were willing to do so in the third quarter of 2021. So I think we're starting to see this normalization then of remote work and also of younger people willing to travel further. The research showed that among remote workers, all age and age groups have grown more willing to relocate or live farther away from their workspace. But younger workers, those between 18 to 34, are significantly more willing than those older than them to live or commute a further distance from their work, with a share willing to do so jumping from 18% in 21 to 30% in 2023. Yeah, now, I think as well there's a lot more competition in jobs for younger workers at the moment as well. And we talked previously about just how many fake adverts there are for job positions where a young person can apply for 10, 20, 30...
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present
along with all of our guests' secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay. Oh. Here we are. We're finished playing this video here.
Jobs, and sometimes only get put forward for one interview, finding out later on that perhaps those jobs didn't exist in the first place, or those employers were building up the resumes so that they had someone ready to call later on. Where we work now, in the first part of the year, 35% of respondents worked fully remote or worked a hybrid mix of some time at the workplace and at home. This was only down from 1% in the last 2 years. And while the amount of people, 49%, hasn't really changed in terms of going to a daily work site, the share of people working fully remote ticked up to 14% this year from 13%. So again, only a 1% difference. So almost nothing really. I wanted to bring your attention to this image as well. It says, "Rural America's pandemic boom sends house prices surging." And these numbers are absolutely staggering from some of these counties where what we can see here, Bonner County, Idaho, a 31% increase in 1 year alone, another 27% the year after. And obviously that was too fast of a growth period, so a 6% decline. But still, that is staggering, at 58% up and then a 6% down, so 52% is still exceptionally high. And for some of the counties that saw a smaller growth, they're still seeing that now. So you can see Moore County, NC, 16% in 21, 21% in 22, and 10% in 23. Now, the other thing to note is rental prices, because rents are also surging. In the past 2 years, and this is according to Zillow data, Harnett County, Moore County in North Carolina. North Carolina, a very popular relocation place at the moment, as is Montana and Utah. these have all seen rent increases between 13 to 24%, according to Bloomberg. Now, we also have the price of farmland at the moment has never been higher. So we can see from this chart that ag land or agriculture land is up 7.4% over the last year. And there is a lot of competition at the moment for farmland, as many of you will be aware, from very wealthy individuals as well as wealthy conglomerate companies. Bob Ficken, a retiree from California, said retiring in California is near impossible. The state ends up taking between 25 and 30% of everything you make. Staggering amounts there. Now, I want to move over to the UK. We're not going to focus too heavily on this article here because I have covered this in detail over the last couple of weeks since it was first published. But UK house prices have shrunk at the fastest pace since 2009, and they've fallen 5.3% annually. So I wouldn't say that is a huge drop or anything significant at this stage, but it is telling when you look at the charts here of the direction that this looks to be heading. And it doesn't really take a genius to figure out why. You don't have enough supply coming on. You have now a lot of net migration towards the UK. People need to live somewhere, so they're getting put into places. You have as well the Home Office, which I believe is now the biggest, which is like the government, the biggest drain on rental accommodation. So we're seeing the Home Office just taking huge amounts, thousands of properties. In fact, it's probably tens of thousands or even more at this stage in terms of taking them off the market using government funds due to the huge surge of migration, not just throughout the UK, but also in Europe. So we're seeing all of these patterns emerging at the same time as higher interest rates, putting a lot of pressure onto landlords as well. What does that mean? It means they pass those costs on to renters. Some of the rental prices now are absolutely staggering. You know yourself, if you're in the UK, well, or in the USA or in Canada or other places, you know that as interest rates are rising, so are rental prices. So it's getting harder and harder. The pockets of people are getting squeezed even more. And this has been on top of all of the inflation over the last 3 years, which, of course, we all knew this was going to happen with all the new amounts of currency creation. But there's a lot more problems over in the UK as well with home builders at the moment. The Evening Standard just put out this article, renting versus buying in London, rent set to rise twice as fast as house prices by 2026. Again, staggering numbers here. And it's mainly down to interest rates, which have been going up dramatically. The article says then London rents could rise more than twice as fast as house prices between the end of 2022 and the end of 2026. So a 4 year period there. Now, they claim that London is going to recover faster than any other regions, while the pressures in the rental market show no sign of abating. Now, there was another article, and I'm not sure why they corrected it and removed this, but the other article was talking about how the government is going to be moving a lot of the this new influx of mass migration that's come in from Middle East and North Africa. They're talking about how at the moment there's been so much pushback of the people being put in hotels, and now the hotel stock in London is getting squeezed, it's getting too expensive. So one of the proposals is to move all of the people into housing stock. And this is another thing that isn't being talked about too much. So it's going to be put into different London boroughs. But now there's a new proposal to actually move the people from London, or not even put them into London, and move them to other areas in the country where the housing stock is a lot cheaper. There's a lot of pushback from human rights groups on this, saying that the migrants should have a choice of where they live, if they want to live in London, that they should, you know, it's like there's a lot of back and forth over this. It's become a very political issue. So they are claiming then, and again, I put this in red because I'm not 100% convinced of this, but they're claiming that in 2025, lower mortgage rates, yeah, we'll see about that. We'll expect to average out about 4.75% for a 2 year fix. I don't really think that they can forecast this that far ahead. You're talking about 2 years now. Look, these guys didn't get it right for 2 weeks or 2 months, so let alone 2 years. So I'm not going to read too much into that, actually. But I am going to read a lot into this because I do somewhat agree with what they're saying. Across Britain, rents could rise by 25% over the four-year period with just 5.5% growth in house prices. Well, to see this 5.5% growth in house prices over the next 2 years, firstly, what's going to happen is for this drop that we're seeing at the moment to stop and to reverse, or at least go neutral for a period before a positive. That's somewhat pushing it in the next 2 years. It could happen, especially if the government puts new proposals in place or they do new levels of quantitative easing and inject a lot of currency. They make liquidity easier and debt easier to get. But that is really pushing it at this stage. I can't see it by the end of 2025, just with looking at the charts. It's looking very unlikely. And we haven't even seen this recession yet. So we're going to have to monitor this closely. So where are they forecasting the growth then between now and, oh, actually 2026, the Hamptons forecast is slightly different then. Well, they're saying London 11.5%, the East 9%, Southeast 9.5%, the Southwest 5.5%, East Midlands 5%, and it looks downwards from there. Wales and Scotland 0% and 3%. Oh, we have a live poll here. Let's see what people think. There we go. That was a good guess, wasn't it? Do you think the government is doing enough to provide housing? Apparently, I have a very strong view there. But we've also just had some news out from the construction industry as well. And it says housing slumped to cause construction contraction in 2023. And we also have another article around the construction firms that are closing due to a lot of issues. A lot of them are going bankrupt at the moment. We've seen 884 of London's construction businesses have already gone bust this year. That is an absolute staggering amount. We also have credit safe data showing almost 4,000 firms went bankrupt in 2023. And that was even up 8% on 2022's bankruptcies, which were incredibly high. Now, I said I'd talk very briefly about Canadian housing market as well. We've got some articles, but I'm going to jump back to the main camera and just go over a couple of notes that I looked up earlier today. And firstly, well, Toronto, as we know, is completely unaffordable. And now we're being told that even if there was an extremely deep recession, it still wouldn't make any difference to Toronto's housing because it is so out of whack. And a lot of the economists are saying that the housing market throughout these main cities in Canada is so broken that some of them even see a collapse. And of course, they're calling on the government to do more and get the United Nations involved. And we need to do more for climate. And this could be a good opportunity to reset the cities and all sorts of other very interesting things. So they've done a lot of forecasts then. One of the forecasts is a 1990s style severe recession, where they think the average Toronto house prices could drop by 30% by the end of 2025. Now, the reason this is severe, and I'm glad they've picked it up in this article, did some good journalism to pick it up here, is that this would result in 500,000 job losses in the city. That's a large amount. What do you think that would do in terms of the employment scarring cycle throughout Toronto? Nothing good at all, because those workers are also consumers. They also have a forecast for if there was a moderate recession, this would lead to a 5% drop in home prices by the end of 2024. And they say this would be positive because it would allow the disposable income levels to return to early 2021. Well, yes, but it's still out of whack with the average that has always existed in Western countries. To get to a 10 or plus PE ratio, so your property value to your earnings ratio, so you know, if you earned $1 a year and your house was cost $10 a year, that is a 10 to 1 ratio. Well, Canada has a ratio far higher than this, and even if they start to bring this ratio down, it's still not going to be enough to stave off some of the major problems that exist right now in these major cities. And I don't think the solution is what they think it is. So the government is planning to introduce a new tax to raise a huge amount of money for their $46.5 billion shortfall. Now, personally, I don't think this is going to work.
Ukraine.
I think what is going to happen as soon as they start doing these, and the tax is absolutely unbelievable levels of taxes on people throughout the city. I just don't think this is going to work. We saw what happened in California, San Francisco in particular, but other place in California. As soon as you start draining the people and putting higher levels of taxes and all of these new regulations on them, they will simply leave for better places. And then you start changing the rules. I mean, Canada really is the canary in the coal mine for all of this madness that's sweeping the world at the moment. So what's more likely is they're going to end up like San Francisco or some of these, LA, some of these other cities with these huge amounts of problems. Calgary as well, similar problems, enormous issues throughout the city. The average cost for a detached home increased by 37% over the last 3 years. An annual income of $156,000 is needed to afford a detached home. And just to afford an average apartment in the city, you now need an average income of $70,800. I mean, this is just completely, completely unsustainable. More data then on Canada here. The corporation data shows an 18.8% decline in housing starts between January and July. So what does that tell you? I mean, we could go on all day with it, with all of this data, but it tells you that there's going to be a shortage. Is that really going to pull house prices down by 30% when there's this massive shortage of housing? Again, the West is seeing this net migration at the moment. So as always then, we're on this very volatile ground at the moment with the housing market. You've got to watch interest rates, because if interest rates are just keep going up and you can't see any sign of them abating, especially in the UK, which has been non-stop consecutive rises, it does mean when it comes to refinance that your mortgage is going to be a lot higher. Some of the refinancing mortgages now are absolutely staggering. And if we see a lot of job losses at the same time, this will then lead to a lot of people losing their houses. And unlike previous recessions in the past, where there was so much overbuilding of property that if you couldn't pay for your house, it got repossessed, the bank would be sat on that for a long period of time. It's not really the same situation now, because there is this massive demand on housing stock. So if there is some sort of a repossession or something similar with the housing stock at the moment, there will definitely be someone else waiting to buy that property. Now you might say, well, how, Neil, if people can't afford it? The banks. The banks will be there ready and waiting to buy. Remember, banks are now becoming landlords. We didn't used to see this before, but this is one thing that we're now starting to see. Banks are becoming landlords, hedge funds, financial firms, private equity. They're all becoming landlords because they can see that it gives them good, stable income no matter what, because people will always need housing and there just isn't enough of it. Thanks for being a subscriber here. Take care. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow.
Boy, nobody realizes what the future holds. Ugh. People need to wake up. Hear the truth for the facts of that reality. Otherwise, what the hell? Let's see what this guy has to say.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair. We have had no vote on term limits or on balanced budgets as the agreement demanded and required. There's been no full release of the January 6 tapes. As you promised, there has been insufficient accountability for the Biden crime family. And instead of cutting spending to raise the debt limit, you relied on budgetary gimmicks and rescissions so that you ultimately ended up serving as the valet to underwrite Biden's debt and advance his spending agenda. Mr. Speaker, you boasted in January that we would use the power of the subpoena and the power of the purse. But here we are, 8 months later, and we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. That's how you know that the rushed and, you know, somewhat rattled performance you just saw from the speaker isn't real. At this point, during Democrat control over the House of Representatives, they had already brought in Don Jr. three times. And we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. Power of the subpoena and power of the purse. Only thing the 118th Congress is known for at this point is electing Kevin McCarthy speaker and underwriting Biden's debt. And unfortunately, there's only one of those things we can remediate at this time. Power of the purse. Our leadership right now is asking us to vote for a continuing resolution. A vote for a continuing resolution is a vote to continue the Green New Deal, a vote to continue inflationary spending, and in the most troubling of fashions, a vote for a continuing resolution is a vote to continue the election interference of Jack Smith. Mr. Speaker, we told you how to use the power of the purse. Individual, single subject spending bills that would allow us to have specific review, programmatic analysis, and it would allow us to zero out the salaries of the bureaucrats who have broken bad, targeted President Trump, or cut sweetheart deals for Hunter Biden. September 30th is rapidly approaching, and you have not put us in a position to succeed. There is no way to pass all the individual appropriations bills now. And it's not like we didn't know when September 30th was going to show up on the calendar. I must be better. You must be better. And this House must be better, for it is the last best hope for tens of millions of Republicans. We demand real oversight against this weaponized government. Just look at the bribery. If tens of millions of dollars flowing from foreign corrupt people into the bank accounts of the Biden family wasn't enough for actual impeachment, why were we even looking? Joe Biden deserves impeachment for converting the vice presidency into an ATM machine for virtually his entire family. We all see it. We all know it. Now, moments ago, Speaker McCarthy endorsed an impeachment inquiry. This is a baby step following weeks of pressure from House conservatives to do more. We must move faster. Now, I will concede that the votes I have called for will likely fail, term limits, balanced budgets, maybe even impeachment. I am prepared for that eventuality because at least if we take votes, the American people get to see who's fighting for them and who's willing to tolerate more corruption and business as usual. Mr. Speaker, dust off our written January agreement. You have a copy. Reflect on the spirit of that agreement and build on the start that we had moments ago. Begin to comply. No continuing resolutions, individual spending bills or bust, votes on balanced budgets and term limits, subpoenas for Hunter Biden and the members of the Biden family who've been grifting off of this country, and the impeachment for Joe Biden that he so richly deserves. Do these things or face a motion to vacate the chair. And let me alert the country. A motion to vacate might not pass at first, but it might before the 15th vote. And if Democrats bail out McCarthy, as they may do, then I will lead the resistance to this uniparty and the Biden-McCarthy-Jeffries government that they are attempting to build. I know that Washington isn't a town where people are known for keeping their word. Well, Speaker McCarthy, I'm here to hold you to yours. I yield back.
Great. That was good. That was something that we all need to have more of. Those who are willing to talk for the facts of what reality we're coexisting with these days. Seriously. Yep. That's where we're at. Where everything is wrong. It's not safe. It's not real. It's not what I want. Nope. I want these roots I ordered during the wrong time of year to kind of grow up. Yep. Which is fine. We'll see. I just got antsy and I shouldn't have. But hey, it's worth a try in my mind anyway. Yep. I don't have enough minutes to do much of anything, really. We can just see what this piece means.
You're masculine when you held the same job positions as the men and got paid the same amount as men. But it's never a problem when it comes to money and things like that when y'all get paid the same amount. It's only a problem when a man does the same thing as you and he's on your level now, as opposed to you being on his level.
I have an addition.
What's the addition? Oh, wait.
So he's not the match no more?
So here's the deal. So we're for him, he's for me. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Come over. You at chat?
Yeah, I'm
for him. Yeah. Saved by the bell.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization.